You are now listening to the Friends of Rugby podcast. Relax your anus. Balls. Thick thighs. Camille Schacht. Where's his neck? Eddie Jones. You're fucked, mate. We're nice now.
Good job, Steve.
I'm not a sound engineer.
Plenty of fucking jobs. Better get it right.
Yeah. My 10 jobs.
Yeah.
Your one fucking posted job. We're recording, by the way.
I knew you could fucking do that.
Every single time. Oh, every okay, single
next
time.
Next time, I'm going to be ready. I've already asked you how you are off mic. Yeah. It's like we do this thing. Well, hey, how are you? You know who I am. I fucking told you. Let's go straight to rugby.
Hello, friends. You're listening to the Friends of Rugby. I'm here with my co-host, Drunk Frank, on his two-day bender.
Recently sober.
And eventually, Frank's dog, Rocky, will join us at some point. He's probably gearing up for his like cameo.
He's got a lot of thoughts.
Getting to come in, I'm going to bark real good.
Yeah.
The international scene's going to hear me.
People will know my name.
So how are you feeling?
You know what? No, like for my age, I went pretty late both nights. I went to a rugby sevens tournament mm-hmm. in the mountains and had a good time and partied hard. I'm okay.
I just want to know... Like, since I showed up to your house this evening, I want to know what, like, 19, 20-year-old convinced you to shave that mustache in? Like, who told you that was going to be cool?
I would have got courted if I didn't do it. I don't think it's cool. We dressed up as cowboys.
Did you?
Which you would have known if you'd have been there.
You got this greasy stash. I was like, is this a thing? Okay,
so, I don't like it any more than you do.
Okay, so it was part of the sevens thing.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't do this deliberately.
Did you guys all have mustaches?
Yeah, we were slutty cowboys. That was the theme.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I came in and I seen that thing.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck's going on
here? Yeah, I mean, you know me. I wouldn't do this on purpose. Well, I was deliberate, but, you know, I wouldn't do it, you know, without a jokey reason.
Come and see that mustache.
Yeah, I fucking hate it as much as you do. Don't worry.
Okay. And I'm like, okay, my co-host cannot be near playgrounds.
And I haven't been, just to be safe. It's got to go.
How are you? I'm good. Had a good weekend and everything.
Nice.
And coaching rugby.
Oh, yeah,
high
you
school.
Are.
Yeah,
very so nice. We've done a lot of rugby-based things. Because confession, I haven't watched any rugby.
Rugby's taking over weekend. My life right now.
When I started coaching, I became obsessed. Yeah. I was like seeing plays in my sleep. You know? I fucking love it.
There's a lot, and I'm probably going to be getting involved on the rest of the week too. Almost my whole week's going to be rugby pretty soon. So yeah. But where do you want to start off talking about?
Let us, as is tradition, ramble incoherently for an hour. But let's start with the URC.
The URC.
Yeah. My favorite of the RCs.
We had a good weekend. There was a good weekend at URC.
I didn't watch any games.
The Welsh teams did what the Welsh teams do. They lost every game.
Got fucked by the ref.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah. Scarlets took the Sharks pretty close.
I heard, I know, I didn't watch it. I just heard there was a controversial reffing decision that would have won them the game had it not gone against them.
I don't know.
Yeah, Whatever. I'm not going to have a pop at refs because I didn't see it.
So they would be like, because like the Scarlets needed a win so bad.
They needed a win all season.
And then the Sharks decided to like, you know what? We're going to play good rugby today.
Yeah. I was hearing that the Scarlets put in a good performance, which is actually what they needed more than a win. Because they not only have been shit, they've looked like they don't care. And, you know, Dwayne Peel is a Scarlets boy, you know. Mm-hmm. So to have a coach from your area in Welsh rugby is kind of unheard of. So many people really want him to do well.
What is the problem with the Scarlets?
I think you could tell me without knowing, couldn't you? It's money, it's not enough players, it's... injuries. I do think they've just they just don't look cohesive, and they don't have enough big hitting forwards either, I don't think. But they had a good performance.
Just can't find some big boys, eh?
No, we don't develop big boys in Wales like we used to, actually. I think that must be something to do with the infrastructure and the academies and stuff. But like, you look at our props and our locks, they're not as big as they were 5-6 years ago, right?
Who was the Welsh, like, what's his name, Bacchus Botha? Like, who is that guy in Wales?
Like an enforcer lock?
Yeah, or an enforcer player, just a dangerous, rough player. Who was that guy?
There's been a few. I think you couldn't say that was Alan Wynne-Jones because he was a workhorse, but he wasn't a nasty player, was he?
No, he wasn't a guy that like...
It was Ross Moriarty for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then it was Andy Powell. So historically, our eights have been real, you know, shithouses.
Mm-hmm.
We had a period where we were a pretty squeaky clean team. Like when we had like Warburton, Faletau and Tipperick and Lydia in the back row, those are pretty squeaky clean players, although very good. But they weren't known as dirty players, were they?
Or just like a physical like menace.
Like an absolute,
like, you know how like England has like Manitoulagi back in the day, how he was just
barnstorming, crushing people.
Vunipola's.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Especially Billy.
Yeah.
Like he was just a dangerous player, just a physical specimen.
And like do you remember CJ Stander for Ireland? He wasn't even that tall, but when he got the ball, he was like a fucking cannonball, wasn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. I don't think we've really had someone like that.
Ever?
I mean, Jamie Roberts as a center, you know, like that's where Warren Ball came from, wasn't it? Give the ball to Jamie Roberts.
Yeah.
And we've never really had a combo of someone who's like an enforcer and a massive unit in that sense. We're not very mean-spirited in that way. I think we lack a bit of grit sometimes in that respect. But yeah, right now we're lacking everything we need. It's a bunch of kids, isn't it?
It's kind of depressing actually looking at it.
You know, you got to have hope, haven't you?
If you're a Scarlets fan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, so I don't care.
Ulster got a big win over Benetton. I thought Benetton was going to win this game.
I was surprised by that because Ulster have been felt like Cardiff, you know, just flattering to deceive.
They're just like kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Hot, cold, hot, cold.
Yeah.
Their new coach came from the under, I think he came from Ireland, under 20s.
Yeah.
Man, he must be sweating bullets because they're like, here's your chance.
Yeah.
Right? Just got thrown into this like mishmash of a team.
Yeah. They've got a good squad when it's all there and firing, though, you know?
Yeah, there's a few clubs like that that's going on. Like, this year, there's been a few clubs like the Sharks, Ulster, Munster.
Mm.
What else is I can think of?
I would say Ospreys. They've been a bit hot and cold.
Yeah, Sale Sharks is another one. Leicester Tigers.
Yeah.
Too. Like, these teams have, like, rock stars on their teams.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
and
never mind.
Just are not, like... reaching their full potential.
Yeah.
I guess Sale's not like doing too bad.
No, they're doing okay.
Yeah, but like when you look at their team sheet and you look at what they have, like you think they would be like at the top.
I can't see Sale making the playoffs.
I don't see them either.
So yeah, you're right. Considering the squad they have, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
So Ulster Benetton, a bit disappointed with them. I think the Ulster win and the Connacht win over Dragons means that all four Irish provinces are now in the playoff spots.
Well, so, I can take a look at that in a second here.
No, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh,
it's true.
Oh, what's the standings there?
So Ulster, I'll just tell you the Irish team. So Ulster 7, Connacht a 6th, Munster 3rd, Leinster 2nd after those results this weekend. And I know Leinster lost, but they're still looking at a home semi if they can leave South Africa intact.
They got they got games to spare, basically.
They did have it, but you know that
it's almost insulting.
But now they're a point away from Munster, so they're in danger of losing a home semi or a home quarter or whatever. Now,
like they were in a position to give their starters almost a month off.
They did this last year and it backfired.
They rested players for games, right? For the knockout games.
Yeah.
But now these guys have pretty much had like almost a, they're going to have almost a month off from playing.
Yeah.
Right? Going into the next games.
Is that worth sacrificing a home knockout game though?
Well, what I'm trying to get at is they're going to have, these guys are going to be able to play like back to back to back to back now.
Because
they've had all this time off.
Right.
Right? And they might even have another game time off, right?
Yeah.
They might be confident enough to like really flex it, right?
They're going to come back from South Africa pretty ragged, these kids, though.
The concerning thing about those games, too, is the fucking like they played like, I barely noticed any of the names on the team sheets who they played.
Yeah.
And the competitive, these teams got rocked. Like this Leinster like C team, I guess, they got fucking like shattered.
Yeah, they did.
Right? And
I feel
the
like
lack of competitiveness in those games is kind of concerning, because these are they threw the kids in.
They did.
And I was expecting it to these games to be more competitive.
I want investigation, actually. You're disrespecting the competition.
Not disrespecting the competition. Not during the season. You're allowed to do that.
Every game's important. I mean, this stage of the competition, though, they are in danger of losing a valuable position in that league standing.
I think they have enough confidence that they'll
finish give a
on,
shit where they play.
Well, they'll finish on top.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. They got, like, look at that squad. It's pretty much the Ireland squad.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So they're,
and they've got so many guys on central contracts, they can afford to have a C team on the economy flight to South Africa.
And Ninabar is like probably got something up his sleeve.
He's up to something.
Yeah, he's probably gotten them all playing Tetris and doing some like weird chanting. I don't know what the hell he's got up the sleeve, but like he's a smart guy. So they probably did, like, they got a lot of smart guys in that.
This was obviously deliberate, wasn't it?
I'm 100%.
Yeah, this is planned in the early days of the season.
Because they would have been gone. They're going to be gone for like almost 4 weeks, 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
Right. So they sent a young team out there, you know, blood them up, and they kind of threw two games.
Yeah.
I wish they were more competitive. The outlook for that would have been better. I don't know if it really shows much from them.
Well, that's what people said last year, and they lost. So what it's showing is you're not preparing for the final very well.
Yeah, but this is different. Like, this is like just like trying to get some experience to some young players. Mm. It's not like resting, like sending them out for a knockout game. That would be exactly the same thing. Like, if they were going to a playoff game in South Africa, and then they left everyone at home, that would be dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
In my eyes.
We'll see if it's dumb or not. I think they're jeopardizing their well-earned league position a bit here. Well, they are, because they're not first anymore.
No. Who's in first now?
Glasgow. By 4 points.
Well, because they pumped Zebre. I didn't see that happening. Glasgow beat them 40-9.
They did. They kind of hammered them. I think I wrote Glasgow off a bit not that long ago, so happy to be proved wrong there.
I think we were talking about how we didn't... I was talking last week about how we don't believe in Glasgow.
That's right, yeah. But
I still don't.
You don't think they beat Leinster in a final?
No.
Mm.
I think they could beat Munster.
Yeah.
I think they might be able to give Benetton
a could beat Leinster in a final?
The Bulls.
Yeah.
The Bulls, definitely. Even maybe even the Stormers. So like, if the Stormers step up.
So it has to be a physical team.
Yeah. I don't know if Munster can do it. Munster just don't have... They're missing... Well, I don't know. They went to South Africa this weekend for the last two weekends and kind of put in a shift.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know. Fuck, they're a frustrating team to watch, to be a fan of.
Who? Munster?
Yeah. Because you just, like, they're like the top 14 team of the URC. That you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah,
like,
right? They're very hot and cold with their squad, aren't they?
Now that, like... was it RG? RG Snyman's, like, all healthy and he's just killing it.
Yeah.
You know, that must drive Munster fans like fucking nuts.
Do you know what the thing is? He's really fucking good.
He's super good.
He's really fucking good.
He makes a huge difference on the field.
He does.
And like, how do you cheer for that as a Munster fan? You're like, because all you're doing is you're waiting for him to like turn around, put a Leinster jersey on, and then start going at you.
Well, if they make the final and he's in that team and they win, that's your money's worth, isn't it? That's all you really needed him for at the end of the day.
Yeah, but so, like, just watching this player, like, because now he's finally playing games.
Yeah,
he's finally coming. Like, he's finally, and he's just showing his worth.
Yeah,
that he hasn't shown in like 4 seasons.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It would piss me off.
Yeah,
I would be pissed off.
Yeah, oh, they already are. And particularly because they're losing him to their biggest rival.
Yeah,
that's the real kicker.
That's the worst part, right? Yeah, it's not like he's not going to Leicester or like I don't know, fucking.
He was going to Japan and Munster won the league this year with him in the squad, you'd think we got our money's worth. See you never again. But he's not. He's going to the biggest. That's 80% of the reason I'd be pissed off, is because he's going to Leinster. Not because of how absent he's been.
And there's a lot of drama going on with the RFU, the IRFU.
Yeah, you got it.
Like team signings and this whole like narrative that they're favoring Leinster.
Yeah.
Because like Munster got denied trying to sign a player.
Yeah. It's a bit of a chicken and egg thing for me, because Leinster have definitely built their own success, right, over the years. So they deserve the accolades and they deserve some, you know, respect. But the egg side is, because they now have basically the Irish squad, they can afford to have two or three teams because half their players are on central contracts, right? so they can afford to make these big signings and send a C team to South Africa and not worry about the result too much. So are they, they're almost like a victim of their own success now.
Yeah, they built themselves, like having all those players on central contracts.
Yeah.
Like opens up the doors for, like, I don't know if that's
you're freeing up actually millions of euros, aren't you?
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
I just don't know if that's a good thing. And also, if Leinster are freeing up all this money to spend on other players, like, isn't it like aren't all the teams owned by the IRFU? Like, aren't
technically
are they run by them? Like,
yeah, they're run by them. Yeah.
Shouldn't there be some like equalization payments around the regions?
No, it don't work like that. Like, no, because they're still competing with each other, aren't they? It's not like a draft system, right?
Yeah, but
in the
I don't know how that system works. Like, are they? Is there private owners, and then they're like,
yeah, there's you know, there's like private.
So someone
investment.
Owns Leinster.
There's a
but
there's
then
a
they're
board.
Run and funded by the.
Both are true, I believe. Yeah, they're not privately owned organization like a Scottish club or a. Oh no, I think they're owned by the. Well, the Welsh clubs are definitely privately owned. But long story short is. They've got the best of both worlds. And historically, you know, you could say what you could say against Leinster is someone like Robbie Henshaw getting picked up by Leinster. You know, they have poached a bit from whenever a talent emerges elsewhere, they have historically pinched a few guys. And that would irk me because it's like, you know, you already have all these private schools in the Dublin area. Why are you pinching our talent? It's harder to come by, right? Because if you look at a lot of those Leinster players, like looks at the schools they went, it's all these like Dublin-based private schools, isn't
yeah.
it? All these academy schools. So they just have their cake and eating it. But having said all that, they've earned their spot up there as well, right? Like they have been consistently good for a long fucking time now.
I would just like to dig through the finances. I wanted to see like what these finances as teams, because it's kind of like, it's kind of hidden.
You think so?
Yeah, because I don't think you can look up like what players are making.
Oh, you can. You for sure can.
For like Leinster? Don't think so. I don't think they make that stuff public.
You don't think so? I thought you could see it. I'm not 100% sure. I thought you could. But
I'm pretty sure it's like all under hush-hush, like how much... Like that's why...
Yeah, because it's a lot.
Yeah, oh, it has to be like with Leinster's team.
Yeah.
It's got to be like astronomical.
Yeah. Well, like I said though, a lot of them are on central contracts, right? So they have to worry about the wages for a lot of those. Like someone like Jameson Gibson-Park on a central contract, probably the best nine in the world. He's probably asking for a lot of money. So if they're not footing the bill, the IRFU, aren't they?
They're just like, did their team budget's like 30 million or something like that. Yeah. Actually, I think I looked at that not too long ago, and I can't remember. Yeah. But anyway,
USC. I think it's shaping up for a nice knockout stage here, though. That's the take home for me.
Oh, man, I can't. There's a lot of great rugby coming up.
There is.
Of the weekend, Edinburgh versus Cardiff.
Oh, fuck that.
24-7.
Yeah. I think we that was the one I watched the highlights for actually, and we just looked crap. Like we've been playing like reasonably well all season. I think that last game against Ulster really just like deflated some, you know, just like fuck this. What's the point, you know? Having said that, I thought Edinburgh played well. Reece Carey came out in the week and said the reason he's moving to Saracens is not because of Cardiff. He loves Cardiff. It's because he wasn't getting picked for the Wales squad. So he's just like, well, I'm just going to go elsewhere and make some money then.
Oh.
To that effect, not exactly what he said. I don't know. So there's a bit, I think there's just a bit of demoralization going on at Cardiff and Dragons and Scarlets.
It looks dire.
I think there's a
when
lot
you look
of,
at the whole system and stuff and like what's going on.
Well, Matt Sherratt, the Cardiff coach also got a 6-game pitch side suspension because he had a pop at, the referee from the Ulster game. And I know we're supposed to be nice to refs, but I was thinking like, at what point do you say something?
Not during a game.
Yeah, fair enough.
You gotta be professional. You're gonna be like, yeah, not during a game, right? You go and make a video like,
but and then post it under some other alias.
Like you just don't do it. You just don't do it during a game or a pro.
No, it wasn't smart, but I sympathize with the emotion, you know? Yeah. I sympathize with the emotion. But yeah, you are right though.
Especially when you've been in the game so long and you know what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
like it's just a dumb move. It's basically like a guy pulling a dumb red card where you didn't need to do it.
You just didn't need to.
Yeah, you didn't need to do it, and like it cost you. Now they don't have like. So now he's like, is he even not allowed to go to practices?
No, he just can't. I don't think he can go. You can't be pitch side during games or something like that. You can't go to the games. He can still coach the team because that's his job, but he can't be at the games.
Because there's like rules where you're like, if you get banned from rugby, you're not allowed to do any.
Well,
rugby.
That's what Razzie's ban was, wasn't it? It was like, stay the fuck away from rugby for a few weeks. Like, go
there
cool
was a
off
guy,
in that tent.
from the All Blacks.
Yeah.
His name is, he died, Jerry Collins.
Yeah, I remember Jerry Collins.
Yeah, so he got like banned from like rugby. So he wasn't allowed to do anything.
He wasn't allowed to look at a ball.
Yeah, and he ends up in Alberta.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is an interesting story. So Jerry Collins had some connections with some people here.
Yeah.
Right? And he ends up in northern Alberta
hanging
out and actually like doing some stuff with the local rugby team here. So they had this like All Black in like north, and no one knew who he was. And
doing some like speakeasy rugby, sneaking some rugby.
I think he was even working security.
Oh, no way. He was
doing like a security gig.
He was a bouncer.
Yeah. And even then he was like a partier. Yeah. Like,
what did he get banned for?
It was drugs. It was something to do with drugs.
Okay.
I don't know if it was performance enhancing or it was like actual drugs. But I know he was a partier.
Yeah.
When I first saw the guy, he was on the, he made the news because he was like, they were doing some kind of like media practice thing. And then he like walked off to the side of the field and like took a piss and like raised his shorts up like in the middle of the thing. That's the first time I ever seen him.
He played for Ospreys for a couple seasons, eh? When they won the whatever it was at the time, the Pro 12 or whatever.
I know when he died, he like he was living in France.
Yeah.
He was playing for some team in France. I think he was playing in the Pro D2.
Real rugby nomad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So that's the URC and that's Jerry Collins.
Well, what about the Connacht Dragons game?
Oh, I was sad about that. Took him into the top eight. I didn't watch these fucking games. You're going to have to tell me. Was it good? I mean, it's close. That's nice.
I thought you looked up, would have watched something.
No, like I said, I watched the Cardiff Edinburgh highlights. That is it. Like, I literally got back last night and I went straight to bed. I went straight.
Podcast has got to be your main focus here.
No, rugby and doing rugby things is my focus. This is my side hustle and it needs to start making me some money soon.
Well, do you want to look at the Premiership?
I'd love to. Fucking love to.
And those crazy games?
Yeah. I'd love. The Gallagher is the gift that keeps on giving this year.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
It legit like is.
Because it's so unpredictable, isn't it? Even last week where I was literally saying things have finally settled down. We know who our top four are.
Do you got the standings up? I want to know who the top four are right now.
I sure do.
I think it's Northampton, Saracens.
Yeah.
And is it
starts
Harlequins? Or is it Bristol Harlequins?
No, it's Bath. Then Bristol.
Oh, I forgot about Bath.
It's surprising they're still up there, isn't it? Because they feel like they've fallen off the radar a bit. But yeah, Northampton, Saracens, Bath, Bristol, top four.
There were some tight, man. All these games were like pretty like tight, except for Exeter Chiefs and the Sale.
Yeah.
Newcastle.
Yeah. Game. I mean, we knew what was going to happen there.
Bristol kind of had a, like Bristol and Saracens like didn't have a great start to the season.
They're having a bit of a late renaissance, aren't they? And I'm happy that Bristol are doing that. I'm very unhappy Saracens are doing that. I wish Saracens would fuck off and stay mid-table.
I thought this was going to be like, because I know at the beginning of the season we're talking about Saracens.
Yeah.
We're talking about how like, oh, they're relying on their old guys. Their team is aging. There's a whole fucking mess going on there.
We were actually
excited
for the downfall.
Now they're like second in the Prem.
I know. They're 4 points off Northampton and they look like they could do some damage all of a sudden.
Like win it. Basically, they could win the Premiership.
Boring.
That would be gnarly.
If anyone but Northampton wins, I'm not watching it next year.
Really?
No, that's not true at all. I wouldn't mind Bristol winning it. I lived in Bristol for a year. I had a good time there.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Bristol winning it. Northampton winning it. Leicester Tigers, man. Fuck.
That was a bad loss
for
them.
What a letdown
team. That was a serious bleed tactical, you know, that's going to affect their season.
I wonder
if
they're going to do a coaching change because they have a new coach. His name is, what, is it Steve McKellar or
Steve Florth Flick? No,
he's an Australian guy. He was actually in the running for the Wallabies.
Oh, he was.
It's McKellar. It's something. It's got
to
be Steve.
To be honest, I haven't heard of this. You're telling me for the first time.
Oh, really?
I don't know about that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's they had a new coach this year, and they hit him, and he was actually in the running for the Wallabies. He was in the talks.
Oh, okay.
So there was actually rumors that he might leave and then go coach the Wallabies.
Oh.
Until they did that Grand Slam signing of Joe Schmidt.
That was a big brain move.
So I wonder if they're going to be looking at a...
Yeah. Yeah, going from where they were to where they are. But, you know, if they'd have won that game this weekend and they were only... What, two or three
points
off? Well,
they had a massive, like, Leicester had a massive lead.
They did.
In this game.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, fucking lost it.
Yeah. I think if they'd have won that game, they're still thinking we could make the playoffs. And after losing that game, that looks very unlikely now.
Because in 69 minutes, it was 19-7.
Yeah.
And then Brown took a red card.
Mickey Brown.
And then...
Oh, I was talking him up as well.
And then told Mike Brown takes this fucking red. Yeah. And then it just... They just opened up the floodgates and came back.
Ugh. Bristol and Harlequins just won't die either, will they? They're just like synonymous with not going the fuck away and late comebacks and all kinds of
Bristol came up from the championship, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like only like what, three, 4 years ago?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they had that year where they were high flying. They had a bit of a crap. I'm happy to see they're staying consistent and they're still challenging because there was a bit of a danger after Pat Lamb lost a lot of players that they were just going to kind of dip again. Listened to a really good interview with Ellis Genge the day where he basically talked about his move back to Bristol from Leicester. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how it was all based on fact. You know, he's from Bristol. He's a proper Bristol boy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, big time. Like, he's from like a... I don't think it's unkind to say it's a bit of a rough area of Bristol, but like a proper like working class area. So that city means a lot to him. So I think that's a big deal for him and the club. You know, like it's a real passion team there for the guys who are Bristolians, you know? So
he's really stepped up this season too.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He has. He's playing with some soul, you know?
So. There's a lot of like, yeah, he's coming out like... Oh man, Joel Marler for the Harlequins had a game too.
Yeah.
Like there's some guys that I was thinking that were kind of maybe going to fade on the way out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just keep stepping in, like I like that.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's funny you should say that. I actually listened to Joe Marler's audiobook when I was playing some video games the other day. Listened to the whole thing.
He has an audiobook?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a book, but
About what?
About him. It's like an autobiography about his life and his troubles and his haircuts. And his career.
Is there anything interesting? Like,
it's, you know, they're all with respect to these guys, they're all pretty dialed in. It's like, you know, he talks about mental health, which is a difference to a lot of rugby players, which was quite interesting. Talked about haircuts a lot, which was kind of funny. There wasn't anything
Did they talk about his upbringing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How was he raised?
In a barn? No. he definitely wasn't one of the posh kids.
No.
Which I was actually, I thought he was.
Is he a posh kid that likes to say he's not a posh kid?
No, that's what I thought was the case. But no, he sounds like he was genuinely a bit more like working class and he felt a bit out of place and when he was going to all these camps and stuff, you know?
That's like when Ellis Genge talks.
But he isn't a posh kid and you can tell, right? Like just from the way he talks in interviews and stuff. Because Joe Marler's always a bit eccentric. Mm-hmm. I think they both have a similar story in that they both had a lot of anger and they put that onto the rugby field, you know? And it really were, and they were always there to prove the posh boys wrong.
Such a fucking Hollywood movie skit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Script. You know, this kid's just like all mad and angry, like, hey, pick up this ball. And his life changes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Rugby is a good outlet for those kind of kids.
I think if England can tap into these workforce estates a bit more, they've got some real warriors, you know?
Yeah.
Some real diamonds.
That's why we got to have more kids playing rugby here.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of angry kids in Canada.
That's right.
Like, hey, there's a sport where you can just let it all out.
You can just be a fucking mongrel. Wild animal for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, and love it.
Yeah, yeah. So. I know. But yeah, anyway, so I'm really happy Bristol are in the top four. I'd love it if they made the playoffs. Don't really care about Saracens. Not that fussed on Bath. So I would love it if it was if it lands that way, that it's a Northampton-Bristol final. That's my dream ticket.
I can go Northampton. Northampton, Harlequins.
Actually, I got big time for Quins as well. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, me too. So yeah, Bristol, Harlequins, and Northampton would love it.
Who's the people's team of the Premiership?
The people's team? That's a good question.
Would be the Harlequins?
It's a weird one because...
Who's the London team?
Harlequins of those three.
Harlequins are the London team?
No, there's
Harlequins,
Saracens and Harlequins are both London-based teams, yeah.
But which one of them is the London team?
They're both London teams.
But who's the London team?
Who's the Londonist team?
Yeah, who's the Londonist team? Team that the majority... it's got to be the Harlequins.
But what are you basing that on?
On who?
The Londoniest?
Yeah, when you ask people from London, like, who is your favorite team?
Who is the Londinium of Londoniest team?
Who has the majority of the London fans?
Okay, so if I'm going to use any kind of evidence, I would say that it is Harlequins, because everyone always makes that joke that Saracens have no fans and they're just like a team that was bought, right? That's like an old Squidge joke, isn't it, when he talks about their fan.
It's like, what's in soccer? Soccer, what is it? Is it Chelsea and Arsenal?
Tottenham. There's loads of them.
In London?
Yeah, loads
of
them.
Oh, I thought there was just like two.
London's fucking massive.
I know it's massive.
It's fucking huge. 11 million people. It's like a third the size of your country's population.
So how many soccer premiership teams do they have?
In London?
Yeah.
It depends on the year because they get promoted and relegated, but I don't know, could be as many as five or six.
But the two most popular are what, Chelsea and Arsenal?
Chelsea, Arsenal, probably Tottenham as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but yeah, there's always a lot. There's several more.
So one
well.
Of those teams has got to be the Londoniest.
The Londoniest. It doesn't work like that. Team. It doesn't work like that. It's big.
So it's there's got
to
be.
Okay, if you're from London, you don't like if you live in London, and you're talking to someone else, you don't tell them that you live in London. You'd be like, I'm from the East End, or I'm from Brixton.
I know how
or,
big cities work.
Yeah, but you sound like you don't. Do you know what
but
I mean?
There's one. There's got to be one team that's like the majority favorite.
Ah, oh, such a. I don't know. It's Harlequins.
It's got to be the Harlequins. Harlequins.
We're going to go with Harlequins.
I told you there was an answer to my question.
Get you off my fucking case. I told you Harlequins. Then you start talking about football. Yeah. And then the London... The Cray twins played for the Harlequins. Ray Winston played for them. Do you know who these people are?
Mm-mm.
Never mind. Joker's totally lost on you.
Exeter and those boys, man. 38-17.
Yeah, that's fucking...
Change the subject.
Yeah. Those fucking Exeter boys. I thought Exeter were higher in the league. I think this every week.
Yes.
And then I look at them and go, oh, they're not that good, actually. They're very mediocre this year.
They're getting so much... Like, my concern with Exeter is that all these kids are getting good.
Yeah.
And
why are you worried about that? It's the Welsh Academy.
There's a salary cap.
Oh, yeah. Well, they go back to Wales.
So I was wondering how they're going to maintain this team.
They'll probably breach the salary cap and get fined for it 2 years later after winning another European Cup, just like Leicester
like
and
baseball,
Saracens.
Where like they all just go over the salary cap and they just pay the fines.
Yeah, they just pay the fine and then just give the trophy back and like, well, it was fun when we had it.
I don't even think they do that.
No, they did do that too.
I know they do that here, but in baseball, I don't think
they don't even take the trophy.
They're like, you went $29 million over the budget. Here's your $1,000 fine. Okay, thank you. Okay.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, fool me once. can't get fooled again.
Yeah. And also, oh man, the most bitter thing too is Faye Wabosso is such a rock star too now.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He's going to be a rock star.
He is a rock star. He's class. You only got to look at him. Like the way he moves with the ball in his hand, you just look at him and go, that guy is a superhuman.
And how young he is, he's going to be a thorn in the Welsh side for a long time. Because he's gonna be the cause of some huge wins over Wales.
Why would you say something
and
like
just
that
putting
to
that
me?
Down, putting that ball down on the line.
I know what happens when Wales play England. We may lose a lot, but we show up. Do you know what I mean? No one stands out.
But there's going to be some games where he's going to
break our little hearts.
Yeah, he's going to be the difference.
Can people stop breaking our fucking hearts for 5 minutes? Just leave us alone.
We just want to play each other.
Yeah, just want to play other Waleses.
Yeah, and that's all I got to say about the Premiership.
Me too. Good luck. I'm excited for the finals there, though. I like it because it's there's less emotion for me there, but it's fun to watch, so... But speaking of Premiership, it may not be here next year.
Because why is that?
I'm going to look at my list of reasons why things happen these days. Money. Money.
And what about that?
They haven't got any. I think it was posted losses of 25 million across the league.
Is there 10 teams?
Yeah. Yeah.
10 teams, 20. Like, that's across. Is there any? Did it point out that any of the teams are worse off than others?
Shall I give you some more specifics? Because I know that was quite vague. I heard that, and I'm looking at an article about it right now. I heard that Saracens are actually in pretty big trouble. I heard their kind of finances are not looking good. And, you know, they've lost three teams, right? Like, people forget that as exciting as the Gallagher's been this year, they've lost Worcester, they lost Wasp, they lost London Irish. And then the product has been so good because those players have kind of been dispersed across the league. And I've talked about this before, that it kind of papered over that crack. But this problem hasn't gone away, right? All of these clubs are posting huge million-pound losses, right? And I don't know how you fix that. So I think it's kind of a big deal, I think.
Rugby in general has like this old guy problem.
It does.
It's got this like refusal to change.
Yeah.
Kind of like they just don't grow like other sports. They don't market like other sports.
It's a jobs for the boys sport still, isn't it? And that's a big problem in Wales as well.
There was like some big kerfuffle about some TMO decision in Super Rugby this weekend.
Yeah.
Over some try. And the comments on the section in like online stuff, it's like people are like, oh, the TMO, we gotta get rid of it, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, it's like, what the fuck is the obsession with rugby fans wanting to go backwards? Like, I'm just like, just mind boggled. Like, there's just an obsession to go backwards.
There's a lot of traditionalists, right? Here,
you got like other leagues, they're using fucking AI, three, like they're using all this technology in their sport, integrating it into their sport,
and we're trying to bring back like orange slices at halftime or something random, and it's like, you know, we're like millions in debt here, and it's like, no, bring back oranges. Like,
it's just, it's painful to see. Like, you have, it's just, the thing is, it's so painful to see when you see successful leagues.
Yeah.
And you see what they're doing to be successful.
Yeah.
And then you have a league that you love.
Yeah. A just, sport that you love.
Like, actively trying to do the opposite.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
No. They want us to, like, fucking watch the games on one of those, like, fucking, like, they want the game to look like one of those, like, 1920s pictures.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you can see
yeah,
all
yeah.
the frames flicking and stuff like that. Like, they, I don't, maybe we'll like it better if all the games are presented in black and white. We'll just make the games black and white. Like it's just, it's fucking, like, ridiculous.
It is.
Like,
yeah.
rugby fans and who, like, I don't know who the, like, there
because,
must be like
because a, what happens is people will, like, finish playing and they'll get a seat on the board. And by this point, they're brain damaged and borderline alcoholics. And they think, oh, they remember a game in 1983 where they scored a wonder try. And okay, here's a perfect example. This weekend, I was talking to one of the old boys at this tournament. He was unironically telling me they should bring back raking in the ruck. You know when they had metal fucking studs? You remember when you were laying in a ruck and someone would drag their fucking studs across your back and you'd be bleeding? And they was, I was like, why? That sounds terrible. Well, you know, if you raked someone, they'd learn. What would they learn? Well, they were lying under your shoe, like, fucking hell. So
yeah, I was just like, I was busy this weekend. I was like, this is just a perfect example. I was busy this weekend.
Yeah,
like, I had to do some work, like, just some side stuff.
Yeah,
and so I was busy all weekend, so I didn't get to watch any of the games.
Yeah,
so I sat down Sunday morning and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch these fucking highlights.
Okay,
I get to the URC highlights. I swear to God, they're made by AI.
Like, they must be,
right?
No human would watch that and go, "That's good. Send it out."
The Premiership highlights aren't even out yet,
but they're better.
They are better, but they're like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this. Yeah. I'm looking at this one, and I was like, this came out 9 hours after the game.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
As soon as that game's done, that highlight should be online.
Yeah, and Super Rugby do a good job, actually, of that. And I don't know why they're doing
they
it so much
better. They do a good job, and their highlights are good.
They are good. And I don't understand, like, when I was watching these USC ones, it's like, quick highlights. It's like, I don't want quick highlights. I've got a little slidey bar. I can move the timer if I want. Doesn't matter if it's 20 minutes or 2 minutes. I can move this fucking slidey bar. Give me the fucking try. They skip tries. Like, you don't need to see all the tries.
Yeah.
I know you've only got 2 minutes to watch this. Here you go.
And sometimes I'm not even showing rugby. There's like a water boy wandering on the field.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the next thing. Yeah. Like,
it's some commentator mentioning something irrelevant.
It's like,
and then
the
they miss
lineup.
Three tries so he could get all his words in. Like,
showing the fucking ticket lineup. You're like, what the hell is this? It's just garbage thing. And then, the prams, like, the highlights aren't even out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what rugby, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, we have a problem, don't we?
Yeah, there's like a boomer problem. Like, it's almost like we have, like, there's nothing we can do. We just gotta wait for these people to die. Right? For rugby to, like, progress, we need these people to, like, die.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't know, it's just it's just like an obsession, this lack of, like, things going on.
Yeah.
Like, and the worst part is you have examples of successful leagues doing things, like, copy them. Copy them.
I'm going to read you something from this, right? It says, what has caused the financial difficulty for club rugby? This is specifically in England, yeah? And it says, this is not a new problem. In fact, financial difficulty has been the default state of English professional club rugby since its inception in 1995. 30 years later, no team has been able to be consistently profitable and have largely relied on optimistic investors and loans to be able to operate. And it's only recently that financial difficulty has reached a critical stage. So apparently these aren't new problems, right? And I think we all kind of knew that.
No, because they're running like a fucking Trump business.
They are.
They're just borrowing money.
They're borrowing.
Spending money.
Yeah.
Borrowing more money.
Yeah.
Spending money until they basically, like, get, like...
And a new investor come along, they'll make all these promises, like, if we do X, Y, and Z, it will be profitable.
But then that money gets squandered.
And then someone in France will say, yeah, I'm going to buy every amazing player off you and pay them twice as much. And then England, instead of going, let's work on our academies and sort of build some talent, they'll go, no, we're going to keep them and pay them more. And, like, how does that fucking work? You already didn't have enough money to pay them what you were currently paying them.
Because there's no innovation. like especially in the Prem, especially in the URC.
Yeah.
I can't really speak for the top 14.
Yeah. But the fan bases in the top 14 seem really healthy, though, don't they? Like, they pack out stadiums.
They pack out stadiums. You know what? In the Prem, too, the Prems, they got some pretty big crowds.
Some of the clubs regularly pack out there. Like, Gloucester, Northampton, those two places are proper rugby towns, right? They're always going to pack out. And that's the sad thing, though. Worcester packed out the stadium. That's a proper rugby town. Just couldn't keep up financially, you know? So,
I think there's a lot of lack of fan engagement.
Yeah.
There's just not enough content.
Yeah, we're making it. Don't worry.
I know. We're making it.
But we're being haters.
Yeah, we are being haters today. Yeah. This has been a very negative podcast.
We should do thumbnails where we both look annoyed and have some... we already do the clickbait titles, actually, don't we? Hopefully people know it's ironic.
But, I just want to see more content coming out from... Like, if you look at, the URC or the Prem, like, YouTube page and stuff, like, this barren wasteland...
I think the thing is, though, is like, you know, a lot of rugby fans, they don't want to be like North American podcasty people where it can be a bit cringy, you know?
Oh, that's good. Fine. I wonder why you guys are always in a financial fucking crisis all the time.
It's not us. It's not you guys.
That's just not who we are. I'm like, okay, good. But you guys
enjoy
are fucking
being bankrupt. Then.
Yeah. Enjoy being poor. Like, you know, like it's like, fine. If you want to be posh like that, then your fucking sport's going to die. Like you have to start trying new things. You have to get out there and like do things, make a difference.
I think if you went to the UK though, people are so terrified of being seen as pretentious or of being judged for being putting themselves out there. Like it's deeply ingrained in those cultures to not fucking stick your head above the fence, you know,
tall poppy syndrome.
Whatever it is, hammer the nail that sticks out kind of thing, you know? Like it's deeply ingrained.
It's
I know it's not always our best friend. There are positives to it. Like we're not a nation of loud yelling wankers, unless we're drinking, in which case we definitely are.
Yeah.
But the downside is definitely like people don't back themselves. People don't appreciate that you need to innovate and do things differently and be a bit weird and eccentric to kind of draw attention sometimes, right? But also, like, this isn't a bigger game as people think. Yeah, it's in a lot of countries now, but the financial infrastructure isn't there yet, you know? And it looks like it never will be.
I just think there's investment going into the wrong areas.
Like what?
Like, I'm not trying to, like you don't need to make fucking the Prem Coachella, right? But you gotta, like, be more innovative in how you sell the game, present the game.
Mm.
And that's how you grow the game. You got to make the product more attractive. And I think a lot of people point at the game, like old fans, they'll be like, well, the game is this, or they're not doing this, or it's too slow or something. I'm like, no, the game's fine. Because I'm a new rugby fan.
Yeah. Right? That's fine tweaking things that is fun to talk about, but are kind of irrelevant, right?
Because I'm not a rugby fan that's been watching rugby for 30 years, some old crook, you know? Like, I'm pretty new. I've only been watching it for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? And the product's great.
Yeah.
All across the board.
Yeah.
Right? But the engagement, just the lack of media material, it's just not there like it is. Because I'm used to watching North American sports.
Yeah.
And there's a fucking plethora. Like the NHL is just churning out shit for fans to engage in.
Mm.
There's just something. If hockey's not on, there's something hockey related that the NHL is doing to engage the fans.
Like all the tries at the scores of the week kind of thing on TSN and
stuff like that. They have the all-star game. They have the skills. They have all sorts of different things going on, right? And there's just a ton of shit.
But here's the
on.
Thing. If you want that kind of thing, you want an all-star weekend. Like rugby has that, but you've got to remember, like in hockey, when you have the playoffs, those teams are playing 7 games against each other. Per playoff, like
that's if they go to 7 games,
right? But they could. That's never going to happen in rugby because this is a sport where you could break your fucking spine if you did that.
I'm not saying more games. I'm
but
just
what you're
more...
talking is like if you want those players more engaged in the sport in a sense that they're playing it, their calendars are already fucking packed.
Not
you know?
In like no, you're getting me wrong. I don't want them like fucking like going full bore all the time.
Yeah,
just like more content.
You know, they do things like that. Like, I watched, they in the Gallagher Prem, they do have Try of the Month. And I know it's not the, you know, but then they'll do these things with, like, World Rugby will do who can kick the ball the furthest down the field. And they're all a bit not as kind of innovative and they're trying, you know?
Like, if you look at the NBA and the NFL, too, they have really embraced, content creators.
Yeah.
Outside
that is something I would really agree with you is because they fucked Squidge, haven't they? Like he's trying to put out content, and every time he does, lawyers will contact him and be like, "Take that shit down. You're not allowed to use our footage."
And
take
the
that
NBA
shit down.
and the NFL realized, like, oh, this puts more eyes on the game, and it brings us more money.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was like, when they try and make a rugby video game, they've not made a good one. But even when they do release one, it's like, yeah, we could only get the rights for three teams in Eastern Japan. So have fun. You can customize the rest of the world if you want. But it's like, you have fun with that, right?
You got
like,
the pro teams in Georgia. You got Black Lion.
You got the Black Lion versus the Suntory Tokyo Goliaths or whatever the fuck they are.
Yeah, you're like, what the hell is this shit?
And if you want to make whales, you can, but you've got to like design the play yourself and give them custom stats and shit.
Have you
like,
ever played a rugby video game?
Yeah, I got really into Rugby Challenge 3, and I say really into it, like I didn't enjoy it. I was just like, this is the only thing I've got and I'm bored.
when did that come out?
That was the Lions Tour of Australia in 2015. That was the last one I played properly. It was okay. It was still mostly terrible, and they had licenses for about half the good national sides and the Pro 12, which is why I bought it, because the other video game, like the competitor, had the Gallagher Prem, and I was like, no, I want to play the Welsh teams. And it was mostly shit. And you could make a custom player. So I had me playing in the playing 10 for Wales, and my stats were like 100. So I was fucking bending people, like fucking dropping drop goals from like
halfway. It's an awkward sport to make into a video game.
It's a hard game. I understand that. But my point is like, just like World Rugby, just let someone have the license. Let someone competent have the license. You know what I mean?
Because then you got like, because every rugby game I've tried a few, and you just end up like button mashing for the scrum, button mashing for the ruck.
If you button bash hard enough, you can win every single ruck, attack, and defense.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Surely there's another mechanic other than hammering a button, you know?
Yeah, it feels like there hasn't been, like, from the ones that I've played, and I think I played the latest one too. They're pretty bad games.
They are bad. I had a thought about this the other day, because this is weirdly specific, okay? When you're playing these games, there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason while the ball is knocked on. Sometimes you'll just hit pass and he'll just knock it on.
Yeah.
And there's fucking nothing you can do about it. Maybe it's like a percentage of his stat, right? It's like, surely you could just introduce a mechanic where you have to time it well, or you have to point the guy's hands. Just something small, like an extra button where it's like, at least I felt in control of, or not in control of that knock on.
It's just such a dynamic, being random. It's a really hard sport, probably, put in video games.
I've no doubt. But it is like someone didn't fucking think about half of this, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like the scrum is like you button bash. The ruck is you button bash. Like, surely there's a way.
Because the amount of things that go on in a rugby game and trying to implement that into a video game is crazy.
Really fucking hard.
Like, when you're making a hockey game, like,
it's the same as hockey, soccer, basketball. It's just this guy has the ball and you pass it to another guy, right? Or the puck or whatever.
And man, rugby's got so much going on.
Right, but it's not impossible is what I'm saying. It does require more thought. But first of all, it requires World Rugby to go, let's just talk to all these leagues and just, we'll give you 10 quid. Can we have the rights? So one, and then like you said, we're engaging more people because we've got a good game where I can play any fucking team I want, and we don't have to have a conversation about the World Rugby Club Rugby World Cup because I've played it on my fucking PlayStation and the Crusaders beat Leinster and it was fine. I don't need to know what fucking happens in that game anymore. Do you know
I ran a simulation.
Yeah, the simulations aren't wrong. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some international shit that's going on here.
All right. Some international shit.
Yeah. Let's talk about those.
The World Rugby Club World Rugby Cup is back.
No, I'm not going to talk about that.
Isn't that, is it?
We're going to the rugby in the Middle East.
Jesus.
The Middle East are finally are starting to put their eyeballs on Test rugby.
I heard Lebanon have a good rugby league team, but that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about Qatar. Given $800 million.
$800 million to host the finals for the World Rugby Championship competition.
Yeah.
World Rugby's going to make.
Yeah.
Which I'm already kind of like, don't think they should do it first.
No,
place.
I didn't like this when it was announced, i.e. that competition. And I really don't like that Qatar want to fucking host it. Gross.
I'm kind of...
Do you want to watch rugby in July and you can't drink beer and the stadium was made by slave laborers who some of them died? Because I fucking don't.
Yeah.
Because you want a lot of people to go there to make this successful, presumably.
You can't even drink in Qatar. They don't sell alcohol there.
They don't really like gay people either.
Yeah. So it's like kind of fucking like...
This sounds like a terrible fucking idea.
Especially for rugby fans.
But I can see... No, and that's the thing. I can see this happening because there's so much money on the table and we were just talking about it. This game needs money. But if this goes ahead, who's going to go?
$800 million.
$800 million.
Fucking like they probably were just saying yes as soon as they set that number. Like you can buy. It just shows that you just buy anything.
You can. That's what's depressing about it. And it was the same with the football World Cup, the soccer World Cup, right? It was like all these some of these people are, oh, this is terrible. We should boycott it. And no one didn't fucking change a thing, did it?
No,
didn't change a fucking thing.
I was reading this. I was like, what the fuck? Like, what do you guys got? Why? They just want the spectacle, eh?
I think what from
I don't even think with $800 million investment, like, do you think Qatar's gonna even interested in even making their money back?
Oh no, this is like fucking money they found under the mattress. Do you know what I mean? The amount of oil they've got, like, this is not a big deal for them. This is about promoting their country as, you know, a destination.
Yeah.
You know, same as
just to put eyeballs on their, like,
trying to westernize their image, right?
Kind of like, come visit here.
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of thing.
Like that's exactly it's a profile raising thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just basically a big advertisement.
And it's kind of like treating people like football fans and rugby fans like idiots, right? It's like if you ignore all our human rights violations, then you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, a bunch of people. Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you ignore how we trap people here and don't give them
their
visas
away,
don't give them their passports back until they finish the job. Yeah,
finish building.
And then they
stadium.
Die of like fucking dehydration.
Yeah, well,
didn't
finish building the fucking stadium. Should have built if you didn't want to starve to death, shouldn't you? You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah. Countries like this should not be getting this kind of attention.
No.
Right.
That's like, disgraceful.
If you're gonna be like hosting such a global thing,
yeah,
and then it being celebrated, and then knowing what goes on in the background,
yeah,
it's kind of it's.
But
fucking,
the sad thing is, I can see this happening.
It's gonna happen. $800 million is,
but they've got 7 days to decide as well.
Yeah,
it's like some kind of like game show. It's like, do you want to hunt $800 million? You got 7 seconds. Go.
So they're gonna just like host one game.
No, I think. Oh, they're just gonna host the final for the League of Nations or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, it's gonna host the finals.
Mm.
I just,
you know, you were just saying you don't want too much traditionalism and you want innovation. I would like it if we just went back to the autumn internationals, though. That would be nice. Fuck this.
Yeah, I think it's fine. We don't need a World Cup every year.
No, we don't. No, we really don't.
Because it's.
We need a video game where I can simulate a World Cup every year.
Yeah, I don't. That's we fine. Don't need to do a World Cup every year. Yeah, I wonder, like, if like stuff like this is it going to like devalue the World Cup?
Yeah, it will.
Because the spectacle of all the teams competing in a competition, it's going to happen every year.
In July in Qatar, where it's fucking boiling.
Well, they'll probably have the stadiums will probably be blasting like some sort of like super air conditioning.
Yeah.
I think they did something like that actually for the FIFA World
Cup.
They'll
just be like shoveling
dead workers
in there as fuel to the air conditioner.
They'll be shoveling their workers into there.
Like something out of an Abe's Odyssey video game.
Yeah, just like
some dystopian nightmare. And everyone's just above them, like clapping with their cool air. Like, this is great.
Thank you for the cool air.
This is such a nice vacation.
All sober. You gotta be sober, too. Yeah. Yeah, man. You're gonna go to a final and not be able to buy a pint?
Awful. I'd rather not watch this sport ever again.
What the fuck
awful.
Is that?
Awful. Awful.
That's I want to like drink the beer and I want to have all those kids trying to grab my cups to get the dollar back or whatever.
I think you have to clarify that because we don't do that in the UK.
Oh, at the World Cup, they gave us these plastic cups for the beer.
Oh, and you get a...
And you can refill them.
Oh,
and if
yeah.
you brought it back, you got a euro back.
Oh, that's cool.
So after the game, somehow all these children just showed up out of nowhere trying to get your cup. Like, oh, can I have your cup?
And
I
was
like,
yeah. Pretty quick.
Yeah, so they had these kids running around with this huge cup, like this big pile of cups.
Yeah.
Just running around.
Probably just drunk parents wanting another pint so you go get 20
yeah,
cups.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I don't want it in a guitar. I don't want it in there.
No, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But probably one that will happen.
Yeah, oh, it definitely will happen. Money sells. Money sells.
Yeah. Are we just grumpy? Or am I just grumpy today? Or have we just begun a thing where we're just haters
complaining.
Now? Are we just haters now?
Yeah, we're hating
okay,
today.
Next week, can we be positive?
Well, let's talk about positive.
Okay. Good
let's
idea.
Talk about Rugby Canada.
Oh, the
and
women's.
The Canadian women.
Oh, Canada.
The 50. Girls showed up.
They fucking did.
The girls showed up.
Yeah.
50-7?
50-7, I think, yeah. That's really good. But they have beaten the U.S. Women's team
They've
several
been beating
times
them.
In a row now.
Yeah.
They've beaten them quite a lot of times, but that's good.
I wonder, I don't know too much about Rugby USA and the girls there.
They're not bad, but Canada is still...
Canada's all those girls...
They're the third in the world. They're still like one of the best in the world.
So what I've heard from women that have played
yeah,
for Rugby Canada.
Yeah.
And is that Rugby Canada is basically telling these girls, if you're not playing in a professional setup,
yeah,
you're not getting on the team.
Yes, and so, they made a point of that in the announcement. They were like, of these players in our starting lineup, these women are playing in this professional league. These women are playing, like, so it was Australia, New Zealand, the UK, and that all of them are. It's a smart idea, right?
It is a smart idea, but they want this. This is what they're expecting of the girls.
Yeah,
but there's no support from Rugby Canada for these girls to go out and do this stuff.
But it's working.
It's working right now.
Yeah,
like it's working right now for them.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling it's not going to work out forever. So what's going to happen is this is my like conspiracy, or not even conspiracy. Like what I'm predicting is going to happen is all the women in Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, France, they're going pro.
Yes.
Right? They're all getting paid now.
Yeah.
Right? So, but right now, there's an open door for like a lot of amateur players because they're all coming from amateur.
Yeah.
Right? So there's room for like the Canadian girls to get on these squads. But
they won't be forever.
No, because as time goes on, and since there's money now, like there's going to be a lot more women playing rugby.
Yeah.
In these countries.
And those systems, those countries will develop academies.
Yes.
And those girls who are coming through the academies will, by just virtue of having an academy, be better than the Canadian import players.
And you're not going to, and these girls in Canada that are playing for like their local clubs.
Yeah.
You know, aren't going to be able to walk on prem teams anymore.
No, I completely agree with you. Because I was watching the Canada women's, Wales women's game in Nova Scotia in the summer. And I kind of thought Canada would win, you know, based on rankings and sort of history. And they did. And I thought this won't be happening for much longer because Wales have just gone professional. Give it 2 or 3 years. And even a shit show like the Welsh Rugby Union, if we've got paid professional players in an academy, we won't be losing to Canada for much longer,
no,
right?
Like 100%. And it's not even going to be like, the thing is if the Canadian girls can keep getting into the professional teams.
Yeah.
I think their status could stay for a while.
Yeah,
but
it's not going to be overnight.
That open door for them is going to
start closing.
Start closing because yes, the development of the younger women.
Yeah.
In these countries is going to start getting picked up.
And those are countries which already have rugby as a regular sport. Like there's already girls in those countries playing rugby.
And there's going to be more. I think.
Yeah. Now they've got a pathway.
France announced they wanted to have by 2030 100,000.
Women
playing rugby.
Yeah, that's
in France.
That's a cool idea.
That's their goal.
Yeah,
to have 100,000.
Yeah.
Now, if you have 100,000 women playing rugby, to pick from, into your national squad and into those clubs,
Canadians aren't getting a look in, are they?
No.
Yeah.
And they're gonna fall behind in the development because their development that they have in Canada, is like
it's not comparable.
It's not even
close.
It's not
bad. It's not bad though. It's just not. There's not a clear pathway or a clear, like, you know, because when I'm coaching a women's team, one of which played for Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the pathway for her was they said to her, you got to go play overseas.
Yes. And also, but her development came from you for like the last 3 years.
Yeah.
She's been playing her rugby under you. A guy just showed up and was like, yeah, I'll coach rugby.
I got an accent. Can I coach you?
I got an accent. Can I coach rugby?
Like, yeah, sweet. Okay?
So she made a professional team,
uh-huh.
basically playing under you for 3 years. And then she went to another team to play for like another prem team. But like that's their development. Like their development is super amateur.
I'm completely agreeing with
and
you.
And it's like they're training like 1 or 2 nights a week and playing a weekend. And they're only playing for like a few months out of the year.
Yeah.
Right. So that's
it's just mathematics, isn't it? Because if I've got a Welsh player who's now training every day because that's a job, by virtue of just training 3 or 4 more times a week, you're going to be better than someone who has the same talent level, right?
So yeah, Rugby Canada has to pick up their
But you know, from their point of view, though, like they know they don't have the infrastructure to compete with England, France, New Zealand, even somewhere like Ireland, Wales, Scotland, right? They just don't have the same number of clubs, right? So they're making the best out of the situation and they're
kind of on a free ride.
They are.
Like the rest of the world is kind of doing Rugby Canada's work.
They know their weaknesses, so they're playing to those, right? It's like, well, let's send them over there where it is good and they can get paid to train every week. So we don't have to do it because we can't afford it. That's smart. You are right. It's not going to last forever.
No.
But it's like, what else can you do? There isn't a pathway here.
Yeah, because
like
that development in those countries is going to progress.
Yes.
And all those young girls are going to start coming up more and more, and they're going to fill those club spots.
Yes.
And these Canadian girls are just playing club rugby here in the summer for a few months.
Well, in Alberta, it's the summer, but
it's going to catch up to them.
It is.
And it's not, so like Rugby Canada has to like really make a decision on like how serious they know that they don't have the infrastructure.
Yeah.
They don't have the problem isn't the money. So much.
No, I think so.
It's the infrastructure and it's the system and it's the personnel they don't have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So they don't have the infrastructure to like host like a big tournament. They can't have a professional women's league. They don't have have money for
that's
that.
That's the big issue. Right? Actually.
They don't have the system to progressively train these girls. Mm. They don't have the personnel to do it either. Mm. So what they do, where they could have the money is like, it's getting these girls as early as possible into systems like around the world early on.
Yeah.
So they're still getting developed.
But then if they do that, say you say send a player over to England at the age of 16 on a rugby scholarship to a college and then a university, she's in England training and playing well for 3 or 4 years. But under 20 level, all of a sudden England go, she's pretty good, we'll have her. Right, and she's been in England 3 or 4 years now. She made a load of friends. It's all of a sudden she's playing for England.
Yeah, that's why like
and that happens in men's rugby.
There'd have to be like contracts signed. There'd have to be like probably legal contracts signed.
And then if you're England, you go, I'm not signing that. We've got an academy. We don't need her, right? It's like, and you are right though. It's the main issue is a lack of a professional league in the country. And that's not even close to happening because we can barely get a men's fucking professional league off the ground here, right?
Well, last Wednesday,
when
I had our first high school game.
Oh, yeah.
I was at a rugby club here.
Yeah.
And I ran into the mother of a guy that's playing in Montpellier.
Oh, okay.
So I asked her.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I heard her talking about him.
Yeah.
And I just interrupted. I was filling up water bottles. Like, hey, you're Bobo's mother.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to talk about it anyways. But I was like, hey, why hasn't this guy played for Team Canada yet?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on there? I just straight up asked her.
You are shameless.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I need to know because this guy has been starting for Montpellier week in, week out.
Can you name him? Is that cool?
It's like Tyler DeGood or
whatever
his name is. Yeah. So he's been starting for Montpellier.
Yeah.
Like week in, week out.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a good player.
He's dug good.
And hasn't played for Canada in years.
Yeah.
Right? Ever since he's gone to France. I was like, what's going on here? Like, what is going on here? So first of all, she told me that the Rugby Canada's insurance like basically doesn't cover anything. So if he comes and plays for Canada and gets hurt, he's completely fucked.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, so that's a big thing.
Yeah,
that's a huge thing.
It's a huge consideration.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, he is like months away from being France qualified.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
just what I was saying. You stay there long enough, you play for them.
And who would you rather play for?
Well, yeah.
Rugby Canada just signed their worst coach ever. Their worst coach ever, and then they gave him an extension.
Yeah.
Like the shit show pile that they got going on.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, man, what a waste. Yeah. What a wasted opportunity. Right?
Yeah.
Like this kid.
Every time you have a pop at Welsh rugby, there is a 10% of me that goes, oh, at least I'm not Canadian, though. Because you could have been something. You know, not the top of the world, but you could have been talked about in the same way we talk about like Italy or Argentina. That was there as an opportunity at one point.
Canada is a missed market in my eyes. For rugby, it's a missed market because we don't have the NFL.
No.
We don't have many other professional sports.
No.
Hockey's number one.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's an inaccessible, expensive sport for young people.
It was really an opportunity, like especially 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like Rugby Canada could have went we could have went on a journey where we could have made rugby unique to Canada.
Yeah, you could.
Like, and we totally...
Like Georgia have.
Yeah. So there was an opportunity to really make rugby something special in Canada.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you got football in the States, but we got rugby here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what we play.
Yeah.
We really could have made it our own.
Yeah. Because there's room for more than one sport here, isn't there?
Yes, there is room.
Yeah.
Right? And it was just a missed opportunity.
And I'm watching... the Canadian men's football team, the Canadian men's soccer team, right? And they're starting to play really well, right? They've taken some big scalps internationally, and they've got some like homegrown players who everyone loves who are now playing in places like the Bundesliga in Germany. And you see it affects kids, right? They get into football, they get into soccer, right? They get excited about it. And Canada feels like another home of international soccer now. And that could have been rugby, you know? It was a real, I don't know what the fuck they did wrong, but.
Yeah, I thought there was like a, especially in the 80s and 70s, or like, especially in the 80s.
Yeah.
And with the success that Rugby Canada had,
yeah,
there was a real opportunity to strike the market.
Yeah.
And they just never did.
No. Because when I was young, we talked about Canada and Canadian rugby with some respect, right? Mm-hmm. It was like you didn't take them lightly when you played them. Now nobody takes them seriously, and everyone is aware of the bit. They're a bit of a joke structurally as well, right? And that doesn't help. But yeah, like you're right. 20 years ago, like when we talked about Canadian rugby, it's like we'll probably beat them, but we're not gonna not take them seriously. Now we'd walk over them, and Wales are shite now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that pinnacle was at 1985 or 1984 when the game went professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an opportunity for when Rugby Canada should have decided, are we in or are we out?
Yeah.
And they definitely signaled, hey, we're out.
They just didn't do something, right?
Because there could have been something, there could have been, like, yeah, because rugby could have been a thing where, like, Canada could have been proud of, like, yeah, we have rugby here, we have a professional league.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
pack out stadiums to watch the Canadian rugby, you know, tournament every year, and because it's different.
Yeah.
And we could have grown the game. You know, it's just a missed opportunity. I don't know if it could ever be.
Never say never.
Like we lost the Arrows. Like that was like especially
that was a bit of a hammer blow.
Yeah, in a growing league, like that foundation team, because they were there. I think they came in the second year.
They were there at the start, weren't they?
I'm pretty sure they came in the second year.
You sure? Because I thought we watched the final together for the first inaugural season and the Arrows were in the final.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. But anyways, they were a foundational team.
Yeah.
To lose them in that growing, because when the MLR is going to grow eventually.
The MLR is like a bubbling volcano, right? Yeah. Something will go good. Something will go bad. Something will explode. Something will fucking fizz out, but it's not going anywhere. It might. But right now it feels like as much as there's good news and bad news, it's kind of bubbling away.
Well, I think they're going into their seventh or eighth season.
Yeah, and we've lost teams and we've gained teams in it and it's still going. And I was watching highlights for a game the other day. The standard's like creeping up as well.
It is creeping up.
You know,
the MLR is becoming increasingly more of a better product.
Yeah, it is.
Especially from the first years when we first started watching it.
Oh, yeah, there were so many fucking knock-ons in that first year.
Yeah, so now it's going to grow without a Canadian team.
That is sad, eh?
Yeah, it's just kind of dire. Anyways, we should end this.
We're trying
podcast.
To be positive. Anyway, women's rugby in Canada. Fuck yeah.
We started talking about, yeah, let's talk about positive. Remember then we just fucking with Drew. Anyways, congratulations.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, friends. Thank you for lasting this long.
Did we go for a while?
In our no, we didn't go for a while. Okay. But thank you. Like and share our podcast. You can follow us on X. You can follow us on YouTube.
Yeah. Spotify.
And Spotify. You can also email us.
Sometimes I post on Reddit.
Yeah. Sometimes we post on Reddit.
Reluctantly.
Yep. I had to fucking like twist your nipples to do it. You can also email us at thefriendsofrugbypod@gmail.com.
Nice.
All right. Have a good one, friends.
It's April 29. Bye.